Our topic today is the cost. The cost. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, my friend. There is a cross for you, and there is one for me. Today we're going to talk about the cost. Too many in the religious world today, too many professed Christians want what is called cheap grace. They want the world and they want sin, but they want heaven too. They want to live to themselves and live in a selfish way, yet they want to benefit from the selfless, self-sacrificing, self-denying life of Christ. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there is a cross for you, my friend, and there is one for me. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And salvation cannot be bought or earned. Salvation is a free gift. Yet, the Bible teaches us, the Bible declares that for this free gift, there is still a cost. And so the question arises, or the questions arise, what is the cost? For the free gift, there is a cost. And so what is the cost? And why is there a cost? If it's a free gift, why is there a cost? And then how do we pay the cost? I must preface the answer to these questions by helping us to understand one other very important element, and that is this, because we need to understand who our worst enemy is. And I declare to you today that our worst enemy is not our problems. Our worst enemy is not poverty. Our worst enemy is not sickness. Our worst enemy is not our people who are about us, who are really our enemies, and they work against us, and they do all manner and say all manner of evil against us falsely. Those are not our worst enemies. Not even the devil himself is our worst enemy. Do you know who our worst enemy is? Our worst enemy is self. You are your own worst enemy. There is but one person in all of the universe who can cause you to be lost. Your enemies cannot cause you to be lost. Your problems cannot cause you to be lost. Poverty or sickness cannot cause you to be lost. The devil with all of his demons cannot cause you to be lost. There's only one person that can cause you to be lost, and that's you. It's your choice. You are your own worst enemy. And that is an important thing to keep in mind. Self is the worst enemy. And that's why self, which has a selfish nature, must go. It must die. Someone asked me, why do we have to die? Jesus paid the cost. Jesus paid the price. You're saying that we have to die. Jesus died for us. Why do we have to die? We do not have to die. It's not true. We do have to die. We do not have to die the eternal death, the second death. That's the death Jesus died for us. But we must die. We must die to sin. We must die to selfishness. We must die to serving Satan. We must die to everything that is against God. We must die to that. You see, the Bible points out very clearly in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Die we must. And so we want to pinpoint what is the cost. What is the cost? And it should be quite clear and evident thus far that part of the cost is that we must die. Self must die. Selfishness must die. Serving Satan must die. We must pay that cost. Why is there a cost? It's a free gift. Why is there a cost? Not just what is the cost, but why is there a cost? Let me tell you, friends, paying the cost. This is why there's a cost. Paying the cost prepares us to receive the free gift. Paying the cost removes sin. It removes self and selfishness. It removes the rulership of Satan. We must pay the cost before we are prepared to receive the free gift. It's a blessing to pay the cost. It's a blessing to get rid of the curse of selfishness and sin and Satan. It's a blessing to pay that cost. We don't give up anything that we need to retain in paying the cost. We give up sin and evil and the rulership of Satan and selfishness. It prepares us to receive the free gift. That's why we must pay the cost. That's why we must die. I want to look in the Bible at Luke chapter 14, verse 25 and through 23, through 33, excuse me. And this is what the Bible says, and we're talking about paying the cost for the free gift of salvation. The free gift that cannot be bought or earned. Yet at the same time, there is a cost for this free gift that cannot be bought or earned. And what is the cost? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. I'm going to read it. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man begun to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. These texts are telling us what the cost is. It's a blessing to pay the cost. It's necessary to pay the cost. We'll never receive the free gift without paying the cost. That's why we pay the cost. Jesus says, if we do not have God first. You see, this text says, if you come to me, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, that word hate means love less. We looked it up in the Greek. It means love less. So in other words, God has to be first. I have to love my father, my mother, my wife, my husband, my children, my brother, my sister, and my own self less than I love God. They cannot have first place in my life. Otherwise, if they have first place, they are in the place of God, and I cannot belong to God. I cannot be a genuine Christian. I cannot be saved. I cannot be his disciple. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not a disciple. There's no such thing as a person who's saved, but who is not a Christian or who is not a disciple. They're all one and the same. Either you are God's or you're not. There's no middle ground. Either you are all God's or you are all the devil's. There's no middle ground. You are not almost God's. You are either altogether and absolutely God's, or you are altogether and absolutely a child of the devil. There's no middle ground. And so God says, I have to be absolutely first. And he picks out the most important and endearing relationships in life. Father, mother, husband, wife, children, brother, sister, and your own self. All of those relationships have to be absolutely secondary to your relationship and dedication to me. God has to be first. If you're not willing to pay that cost, then you cannot belong to me. You do not belong to me. You cannot be my disciple. That's part of the cause. That's part of the cause. God has to be first. See, he illustrates that he's talking about the cause. He points out that what person begins to build a tower and doesn't sit down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient enough to finish the tower? God is trying to tell us that we have to count the cost in belonging to him. There is a cost. There is a cost for receiving the free salvation. There is a cost for belonging to the Lord. There is a cost for being a disciple of Christ, for being a Christian, for being an ambassador of Christ. There is a cost. And he says you should sit down and count the cost first. There's another portion of the cost here mentioned. In verse 27, Jesus says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So many Christians want to live to themselves. They do not want to live the self-denying, self-sacrificing life of Christ. They want to live for themselves. They want to serve themselves. They want comfort and pleasure. They want money, money, more money. Possessions, possessions, more possessions. They consider that to be the blessings of the Lord. That's their due because they are a child of God. They're taught this in these false religions and false gospels. These get rich. They use the name of God as a get-rich-quick scheme. And in reality, the man who's preaching it is the major one who's getting rich. Not necessarily those who are giving him their money. But God says that except we are willing to bear our cross, we cannot be his disciples. We do not belong to him if we do not bear our cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There is a cross for you and there is one for me. The life of Jesus is a self-denying, self-sacrificing life for the good of others. We serve God by serving others. Self is no longer on the throne. Self is no longer first, like it is in too many of professed Christians' lives. They're interested in their comfort, their money, their house, their bills, their cars, their convenience, their education, their jobs. What pertains to them is first and absolutely first on their agenda. totally opposite than Bible religion. How have we been so misled? They think the whole goal is to get well and get rich and be happy and have plenty of money and plenty of possessions. That is not the religion of the Bible. It's false religion, and it's rampant in the world today. Taught by what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, false apostles, false teachers. Jesus points out in verse 33, there's another element to paying the cost. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, too often we're caught to accumulate all that we can, not forsake all that we have. Huh? It's a religion that is opposite to the religion that the world teaches today. God help us to follow the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We are not home in this world. There's no virtue in being poor, but there's no virtue in being rich. The virtue is in living the life of Christ, a self-denying, self-sacrificing life of Christ. Jesus says that we are to forsake all that we have. If we do not, we cannot be his disciple. Forsaking all does not mean we have to necessarily give up all. It just simply means that we use all that we have and all that we are for the glory of God and for the furtherance of his kingdom. We use our house. We use our car. We use our possessions. We use our money in a special way for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. What gets the majority of your time, your talents, your efforts, and your money? Whatever gets the majority of your time, your talents, your efforts, and your money is your God. It doesn't matter what you are professing. It doesn't matter how often you are sitting in church. Whatever gets the majority of your time, talents, efforts, and money, that is what's first in your life. That is what you give priority to. That is what you serve. That is who you are dedicated to. That is what gets your first. That is what gets your best. That is your God. And God says, except we forsake all that we have, we cannot be his disciples. All that we have, we give to the Lord. The Lord is Lord of all that we are and all that we own. And we just don't say, my house is the Lord. We use it that way. We ought to use our homes for Bible studies. The Bible says when the poor and the lame and the widow and the orphan are cast out, the Bible says, bring them to your house. We don't do that too often. We send them over to a shelter or try to find somewhere else to send them. Then we're not bringing them to our house. Oh, how far we are from the Bible religion. Our car should be used to go give Bible studies and go pick up people who need rides and take people to church. Yes, we need to go back and forth to work in it. We need to take our children to school. We need to go to the store and shop. We need to do the necessary things. But those things are secondary. Priority is doing the work and will of God, building up the kingdom of God. That should be first. Not just in talk, but in reality. And God cannot be fooled. We might can fool one another and say, oh yes, it's first. But God knows whether it's first or not. God help us. And God help us to see that there must be a change. We must put God first, or we cannot be his disciple. We must bear our cross, or we cannot belong to the Lord. We must forsake all that we have. That is, give all that we have to the Lord and let him be Lord of it. Or we cannot be his disciple. That is the cost. That is part of the cost. And none of those things we can do except we first pay the cost of dying to self. To selfishness and to sin. I say we have to die to self, to selfishness, and to sin. I want to look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, a very familiar set of scriptures and passages. Let's look. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. All for grace to trust God. All for grace to come to God so that he can put us to death through the baptism of water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we might submit ourselves into the hand of a high priest who puts to death the old man, who destroys the body of sin, the power that keeps us slave to evil habits and evil thoughts and evil tendencies and evil propensities and evil patterns and habits. All of those things must be put to death and destroyed. Then we are freed, so that we are enabled and fitted to receive the free gift. We must die to self, to selfishness, to sin, and to slavery to Satan. The old man must be crucified, the Bible says, buried with Christ in baptism, never to rise anymore. What's resurrected is the new creation that walks in the newness of life, the Bible says. We must pay the cost. This is nothing new. It has always been this way. Somehow we think that the religion that was practiced in the day of Jesus has somehow changed, and the religion of today is somewhat different. The requirements that Jesus required of his disciples then are the requirements that he requires of his disciples in this, the very end of time. Matthew 19, verse 27 through 29. I want to read something here, because we want to see what the disciples of old did. And one thing is certain, what they did then is also required of us today. I want to read. And then answered Peter, and he was speaking for all of the disciples. And then answered Peter and said unto him, that's Jesus, behold, he's speaking for all the disciples, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily or truly I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Oh, Jesus just gives the tip of the iceberg. He points out to them, you will be rewarded for paying the cost, for forsaking all, for following me, for putting me first above all other concerns, or you will sit on thrones. All of God's children will sit on thrones, not just the 12 apostles. The Bible teaches us that in the book of Revelation. Jesus says that you will receive 100-fold. Whatever you do for my sake, you will get it back 100-fold. And for certain you will have everlasting life. Even after a trillion years, you've only just begun a life with no end. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Oh, the Lord tells us we'll walk on streets of gold. Jesus says that in my Father's house are many mansions. We'll have mansions there. We'll be able to travel throughout the endless expanse of the universe, visiting all of the other unfallen worlds where intelligences are, exploring the creation of God, an endless, endless universe to visit and explore, having eternal life. We'll be able to sit down and talk face to face with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Oh, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love him. I want to finish up by reading a few texts, that is, in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse 32. Jesus is telling us something here. And this is Jesus talking. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. We don't have to literally say that we deny Jesus. We deny Jesus by the life we live, by living selfishly, by being evil and mistreating our neighbor. We deny the Lord in so many different ways. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Paying the cost. Yes, we have to lose our lives. Not in physical death necessarily. But this old life of serving self and prioritizing the things of this world in our lives, that's got to die. We must put Jesus first, the kingdom of God first. We must bear our cross. See, we are Christians because we live the life of Christ. We are Christians because we live the self-denying, self-sacrificing life of Christ. If we do not live the life of Christ, we are not Christians. To say you are Christian says that you are Christ-like. A person who is Christ-like lives the life of Christ. We profess to be Christians. Are we really Christians? We cannot fool God. We can fool each other. We can band together 10,000 in number, all under false religion. That's not a problem. We can pat each other on the back and affirm each other. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it genuine religion. We have to follow the Bible and the Bible alone. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace on the earth. What Jesus is talking about here is that the gospel of Jesus puts us at odds with the enemy of God, Satan. And when you enlist in the army of God, when you are born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, when you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, then you enlist in an army. Satan sets himself in array against you. He brings those who serve him against you. They hate you. They work against you. It's normal. It's natural. the two sides, righteousness and unrighteousness, light and darkness, by the nature of what they are naturally at war with one another. The presence of one destroys the presence of the other. The presence of life, light, destroys the presence of darkness. They are naturally at war. And that is what Jesus is talking about. And so when people do not love the Lord, oftentimes they will hate you because they hate the spirit that you are of. They are at variance with the spirit that emanates from you. And the light and life that shines forth from you condemns them, and they despise you. And they say and do all manner of evil against you falsely. But it's part of the cost that you pay. You're willing to suffer. You're willing to pay that cost. You're willing to bear reproach for Christ's sake. And so what is the cost? We must die to self, sin, and Satan. What is the cost? We must be willing to put God first before father, mother, husband, wife, child, even our own selves. We must be willing to bear the cross, live selfless and self-denying. We have to do that. Otherwise, we cannot be his disciples. We must forsake all. We must make Jesus and God Lord of all we are and all we own. That's what we must do as far as the cause. And last of all, by God's grace, we must be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. That's part of the cause. We count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing that it works our good. And when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the Bible says, then do we know we reflect the glory of God. He suffered. And Jesus said, if I am persecuted, if they have done it to me because of what I am, you know that they will do it to you when I'm in you, when you reflect me. God, strengthen us to be willing to pay the cost. To be Christians, to live the life of Christ. That's what the world is lacking. Christians are living for the world too often. Professed Christians, that is. Living for the world, living to be rich. Living for more and more material gains. Just sitting here accumulating this world's goods, waiting for more increased goods when they finally get heaven. They'll never reach it like that. It's a false gospel. Millions are caught up in that false gospel. We have to live like Jesus, the self-denying, self-sacrificing, the meek and lowly Jesus, whose life he gave. Not only did he give his life in death, but he gave his life while he was living. That's what we have to do. He was a servant of servants. He was a servant of mankind. He went to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what his life was about. That is what the life of all who are genuinely born again, according to the true gospel, that is what they'll do. That is what they will be. God help us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, please fix us, enlighten us, so that we are willing to pay the cost. Lord, as we sit down now and count the cost, Lord, put it within our heart, the willingness to pay the cost. And so now, Lord, we come to you that you might crucify us, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we will not serve sin. And that we will let you be Lord of our life, Lord of all that we are and all that we own. We put all that we are and all that we own into your hands, to keep it or not keep it, but to use it for your glory and for your honor and for the furtherance of your kingdom. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, let it be our mission to reach and to seek and to save the lost. Let us put God first. Bless us to use the majority of our time for your kingdom. Bless us to use the majority of our talents for your kingdom. Bless us to use the majority of our efforts for your kingdom. Bless us to use the majority of our money for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Oh Lord, help us to count the cost. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.